Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 19th of August, 2013. The podcast that isn't part of the solution, it's part of the precipitant. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's coagulate the news of the bogus. Supposedly, we need government to step in when the market fails. But in Detroit, it seems to be the other way around. The government has failed, so the market is stepping in. With payments and city services canceled, the free market, in other words, private citizens working together, are picking up the slack. For example, 26-year-old Andy DiDerossi has started up his own transportation service. Using some old Greyhound and school buses he had, he started the Detroit Bus Company, taking citizens to locations such as the Detroit Metropolitan Airport. What you want to bet he's dropping off more than he's picking up? DiDerossi says that this is a city function and that his company shouldn't be a permanent solution. But why not? Private bus services have always been run more efficiently than their municipal counterparts. Maybe he'll change his mind, or maybe someone else will come along and make it a permanent endeavor. Meanwhile, trained citizen volunteers help the police patrol dangerous neighborhoods. Another boards up abandoned homes. Tom Nardone took his riding lawnmower to the city parks to help keep them up, and other citizens joined him. They're also helping to restore a bike path the city hasn't maintained since the 80s. Supposedly, we need government to do these things because the citizens can't. I don't know, seems like they're doing okay to me. Here's hoping they stand as an inspiration to other cities to replace their inefficient services with quality private endeavors. We're still waiting for a verdict in the Bradley Manning sentencing hearing, which the judge says should come this next week. But there has been a bit of good news. Previously, this podcast covered the fact that Manning could conceivably be sentenced to 136 years if he's given the maximum sentence on all charges and ordered to serve them consecutively. Now that number has been reduced to 90. Colonel Denise Lind, the judge and the court martial, agreed with the defense that a lot of the counts should be combined. For example, two counts on a charge carrying a maximum 10-year sentence have been combined, so he'll serve no more than 10 years for both charges. The defense didn't get quite all they want. If they had, Manning would be facing a maximum 80-year sentence instead of 90. Details of her ruling are sketchy. Reporters in the courtroom said that Lind read the decision way too fast, 180 words per minute according to The Guardian. Journalist Alexa O'Brien said that she has, quote, no respect for the public and press, and that the ruling was read way too fast to transcribe. Still, this may be a good sign for Manning. The defense is also calling more than 20 witnesses to speak on his behalf, for someone whose actions cannot be shown to have harmed a single person, but who gave the American people and the world at large very important information about what our government has been up to. It's ridiculous that he's facing so many years. Still, this is encouraging. Here's hoping for the best possible outcome for Manning. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Meanwhile, government kills children and faces virtually no consequences as a result. And I'm not even talking about drone strikes here. Joshua Hill and his wife are mourning the death of their daughter Alex, directly the result of Child Protective Services. She was taken from them last November for, quote, neglectful supervision. And what did this entail? They were smoking pot while she was asleep. That's it. Alex was never hurt, never put in danger, was never sick or hospitalized, and never had any issues at all. Until CPS took her, that is. They placed her in a foster home, and whenever Hill saw her, she had bruises on her and mold and mildew in her bag. Then he got the call no parent wants to get. His daughter was in the hospital. They wouldn't tell him why or what had happened. When they got there, Alex was in a coma. 2 days later, she was taken off life support. Hill was less than 4 months away from getting her back. The foster mother has been arrested for murder, with bond set at $100,000. But what about the CPS workers who took Alex from her loving parents for no good reason? Will anything ever happen to them? Doubtful. They're already trying to pass the buck. They're blaming the agency Texas Mentor for failing to do a good enough background check on the foster mother. But the fact remains, if they'd never taken her from her family for such a bogus reason in the first place, this would never have happened. This sort of thing happens so often, in fact, that it's impossible for anyone to say it isn't foreseeable. Why is it that the government completely avoids being held accountable every single time? If that's not bad enough, you won't believe the latest in the online spying controversy. A Federal Drug Enforcement Unit, the Special Operations Division, or SOD, is funneling information taken from wiretaps and telephone records to authorities all over the country so that they can launch criminal investigations against Americans. Reuters has reviewed documents showing that these authorities have been specifically instructed to, get this, hide how the investigation truly began. They should then recreate the evidence trail without this information to cover up its origin. Unbelievable. Harvard Law professor and former federal judge Nancy Gertner said, quote, "I have never heard of anything like this at all. It is one thing to create special rules for national security. Ordinary crime is entirely different. It sounds like they are phonying up investigations." There are two very important concepts involved here. The first is the right of the accused to confront his or her accuser. But if the origin of all of this is covered up, this vital right is taken away from defendants. The second is chain of evidence. Evidence must be able to be traced back to its origin, and if it can't, it must be thrown out. Any recreations that are made based on that evidence, the kind the SOD wants law enforcement agents to do, is also thrown out as fruits of a poisonous tree. But if the SOD has their way, the origins will not only be completely covered up, there won't even be any indication that it happened. How are people supposed to defend themselves against that? According to former federal prosecutor Henry H. Hockheimer Jr., quote, "You can't game the system. You can't create this subterfuge. These are drug crimes, not national security cases. If you don't draw the line here, where do you draw it?" One prosecutor, who didn't want his name released, learned that agents were using SOD tips in a Florida drug case. He ended up speaking to a DEA agent who told him the data had come from the SOD, originally from data intercepted by the NSA. Quote, "I was pissed. Lying about where the information came from is a bad start if you're trying to comply with the law because it can lead to all kinds of problems with discovery and candor to the court." He never filed charges in the case because he lost confidence in the investigation. Good for him. Does anyone need any more evidence that NSA spying on the activities of innocent Americans is a bad thing? Hey, Stossel, are you listening? Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And you'll help this podcast too. just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now it's time to capture the metadata of this week's biggest bogon emitter. And for the... I've lost count. It's Obama again. And listen to what he recently told Jay Leno. Quote, "We don't have a domestic spying program. What we do have is some mechanisms that can track a phone number or an email address that is connected to a terrorist attack." Hey, didn't we just cover the fact that federal agents are passing on this information to local authorities to be used to make criminal drug charges against people? And he says they don't have a domestic spying program. Once again, he's either incompetent or he's lying. At this point, I honestly don't know which is the more generous conclusion. He also said, quote, "The odds of dying in a terrorist attack are a lot lower than they are of dying in a car accident, unfortunately." Well, he actually did tell the truth about something, but of course, he picked something that kills a lot of people. Here are some other things that the average American has greater odds of dying from than a terrorist. Heart disease, cancer, diabetes, pneumonia, hot weather, electricity, a train, a bathtub, your bed, lightning, peanuts, and even deer. In fact, you're 8 times as likely to be killed by a police officer than a terrorist. You gotta give it to him. It takes skill to use a truthful statement to mislead people like that. And it's that skill that gets Barack Obama yet again named this week's biggest bogon emitter. And now it's time to redistribute the wealth of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes to Jillian Berman of the Huffington Post for an article she wrote entitled, "The Rich Are Hoarding Cash and It's Making Us a Lot Worse Off." I know, this is a 2-second debunking, but let's go through the process anyway. The article begins, quote, "America's wealthiest households are increasingly squirreling away their cash, according to 2 recently published reports, in a trend that could pose a threat to the economy at large and exacerbate already high levels of income inequality, period. Okay, straight punctuation notwithstanding, let's look into this train wreck of an opening sentence/paragraph. We'll go in reverse. Income inequality is pretty much a joke as metrics go. These people would have us believe that poor people who have refrigerators, rarely if ever miss meals, and have over 500 square feet of living space per person are worse off than starving people in third world countries just because the rich have even more than they do. Sorry, but you're not better off if everyone lives in squalor. This is nothing more than elitism and fostering of bogus class warfare. Second, there's really only one thing that has ever been shown to be a threat to the economy at large. Government. There really isn't much that individuals acting on their own can do, no matter how rich they are, that won't be countered by economic effects elsewhere. But the biggest bogosity comes in the very first claim. They're squirreling away their cash. Hello? That's called investing? Anything that isn't spent or taken in taxes is invested. That's Macro 101. So that makes this claim sound a little strange. Quote, "America's top 1% saved their money at a rate of 37% last quarter, according to a recent survey from American Express Publishing and the Harrison Group, highlighted by CNBC, which is more than triple their savings rate in 2007. In addition, a Bank of America study, gotta love who's doing these studies, right, found that more than half of millionaires have a substantial amount of cash on hand, and of that group, about 60% said they didn't plan to invest it in the next 2 years. Think about that last part. They saved the money, but didn't plan to invest it. So obviously it's their fault the money isn't being invested. But wait, they're just saying they aren't going to invest the money themselves. But what do you think happens to savings when you put it into the bank? Isn't the bank supposed to invest that? And isn't that investment just as valid as if the depositor had invested the money himself? Quote, "The findings indicate that even while America's wealthiest households are taking home a larger share than ever of the income pie, they're doing little to put that money to productive use in the economy," experts say. One possible solution? Wait for it! Raising taxes on the rich. You knew it was coming, didn't you? If those selfish, greedy, rich people won't spend their own money, then the good and generous government should take it and do it for them. Okay, so yeah, this article is pretty much full of the bogosity we always see whenever some economically ignorant pundit tries to get up on her high horse and push her own agenda. But in the process, she put her finger on the nub of the problem, and it isn't the wealthy people putting money in banks. Banks are supposed to be putting that 37% to productive use by investing it. So why aren't they? There are two main reasons. On October 1st, 2008, the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008 went into effect, courtesy of George W. Bush and the Democratic Congress. One of its provisions authorized the Federal Reserve to pay interest to banks on money they held in reserve. According to the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors, quote, "The interest rate paid on balances maintained to satisfy reserve balance requirements is determined by the board and is intended to eliminate effectively the implicit tax that reserve requirements used to impose on depository institutions. The interest rate paid on excess balances is also determined by the board and gives the Federal Reserve an additional tool for the conduct of monetary policy." What does that mean? It means that banks are being paid by the Fed not to invest their deposits. Ordinarily, banks would take your deposit and then go find some investment to put the money in. After all, if they're going to pay you, say, 3%, they're going to want to make 5%. But now, they'll get paid interest even if that money just sits in their vaults. So why isn't Berman publishing a screed against that? Why is she punishing rich people who are simply saving and not Congress and the Federal Reserve? Banks are being paid not to invest. Does she really not think that's a problem? Or is she such a horrible researcher that she doesn't even know about it? The other reason has to do with Bernanke's insistence on keeping interest rates low. The rate at which banks can loan money from the Fed is the funds rate, which is currently at 0.25% and has been since 2008. Interest on long-term treasury bonds is about 3.8% and has basically been between 2.5% and 5% for that same period of time. Now, think about this. You're a bank. You can borrow money from the Fed at the funds rate and then turn around and buy bonds from the treasury and make over 2% interest without actually doing anything. And the money just goes around and around in a closed loop, never really being invested, but the taxpayers have to foot the bill for it. That is what's happening to our investment dollars. It is not the fault of the rich, but the fault of Congress and the Federal Reserve. And then people like Berman come along and accuse them of hoarding, when all of the information I've given you is publicly available and easy to find. Unbelievable. And it's her complete and utter failure to do what is staggeringly simple research on the matter that earns her the title of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this regular price $4 edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from Harry Brown. "Investors are not necessarily competing with one another as though the investment markets were a zero-sum game. If they were, they'd have died out years ago. replaced by casinos that offered free drinks as you gamble. Kindertotenlieder was composed by Gustav Mahler and performed by Marian Anderson, accompanied by the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com.